Hello and welcome under the Kotatsu. I'm your host, Austin, joined as always by Danny.
Hello.
And Danielle.
Hey, nerds.
And we are back on the ice to talk about the second half of Yuri on Ice. But before we get to any of that, what is everybody drinking at this Kotatsu table? I will start because I'm fittingly drinking a cup of tea for the Kotatsu vibes. Had a sore throat slash been congested all week, so coffee is not the move right now because that just makes my throat feel worse. What are you drinking, Danny?
I'm also having a sort of tea, if you want to call it that. Having a sugar-free hard Mountain Dew Baja Blast.
American tea.
Yeah, this will heal your throat. It's an elixir.
Yeah, you know, you steep some Baja Blast leaves for a couple minutes in boiling water. And
treat every day like a Baja Blast in case it's my Baja last.
Well, you just gotta like pour it in like a like a cast iron teapot like I've got, and then pour it into like a, you know, like a Japanese style teacup, and then it's tea. Like
I just imagine heating that up. You just have hot Baja Blast.
Yeah, hot Baja Blast. I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe you could do like a hot alcoholic drink with some Baja Blast in it.
Well,
I guess if you just add alcohol to it, it'll make it tolerable. Yeah.
Well, I also have a can of hard Mountain Dew Live Wire, like the orange kind here. That's kind of like a they make orange tea, so
yeah. You just put that that bad boy in a slow cooker and put some like cloves and orange slices in it, and that's basically like a wassail.
Well, it's like the thing in The Night of Short Walk On Girl where it's like ginger root and Coke boiled or whatever. It's the cold cure.
Yeah, you don't drink Mountain Dew Live Wire for the taste. You do it for the herbal remedy portion of it.
The medicinal quality of it.
Yes, exactly. Danielle, what are you drinking?
I've just got water and black coffee, as usual. I'm hungover and could use the caffeine.
Nice. All right. I guess before we get into it, we can do a quick vibe check on the second half of Yuri on Ice. We watched skates 7 through 12. And I don't know about y'all, I did watch the OVA as well, because it's like 2 minutes long, which I can talk about if y'all didn't. But how are we feeling now that we've finished it? I'll start with you, Danny, since this was your pick. How are you feeling after finishing rewatching Yuri on Ice?
I'd say I'm feeling good, but not overwhelmed or not like blown away. I had a good time. I liked it. I did find myself kind of mentally checking out during some of the side characters' skating routines, especially if it wasn't one where they like are coming to a major realization or like going through something. Like I was on the edge of my seat for the final JJ one, but I wasn't like, or not the final JJ one, the first one where he like freaks out or whatever. But like Pachit's one, I was like, okay, this is like nice, but I don't feel like super, super invested, kind of thing. So, but when it came to like Yuri or Yurio, doing it, then I was like, oh, hell yeah, let's go. You know, 'cause they're like the main thrust, you know, so did like it, had a good time. You know, I like things where they have like all these little side characters that have their own little mini arcs, and that's great. But you know, I wasn't like, oh, this is like the best, you know, sports anime or the best thing I've ever seen or whatever. I was like, oh, this is like fun. There's a reason episode 10 is my favorite one of this batch. It's because there's no skating in it. It's just people talking.
It's a good one. Well, I cried, so that's my vibe check. Danielle, how did you feel since you're the one of us that hasn't seen this before?
I kind of felt like a chore to get through after me not really clicking with the first half. It just kind of continued the same issues that I personally had with the first half.
Yeah, I was curious if it would like pick up for you once they had like their relationship kind of established, but it sounds like not necessarily. No,
also didn't help that I was like spending a lot of time looking at the reactions to it back in the day, and everyone was like, oh my god, and I understand partially, but not to the same degree.
Well, it's fine. I cried enough tears for the two of y'all as well, so I'll bear that burden. I'll get up on that cross.
Do you think this was like a lot of people's first experience with like BL or like not like BL,
well,
generally, but like a wide release, you know, gay anime or whatever.
Well, I think at the time that was the shock of like people not realizing it was going to go there. Especially because it doesn't really like fully reveal that that's what it's going for until halfway through. And then also like something I learned from the pittance of special features on the, which I mean, hey, any special features is better than nothing, on the Funimation Blu-ray, which include a commentary track on episode 11 and a like voice actor discussion with the voice actors for Yuri and Victor and the ADR director, which I think was the more informative of the two. And they talk about how when it came time to dub it, you know, like they're getting like pre-release footage of like a lot of the shows that are about to air in that coming season. And the way Funimation lets their ADR directors choose what they work on is everybody submits like a top three list to kind of see like who really wants to do what and then figure out how to, you know, divide things up after that. Nobody had this show on their top three. Nobody kind of knew what it was going to be until it came out is the vibe, at least in like the English speaking side of things. But the ADR director talked about like once he like he didn't put it on his top three, but he was approached like, hey, do you want to direct this? And he looked at the preview footage and he could tell from like what animation there was in the previews of like, oh, yes, I actually do. I think people are going to be surprised by this, and ended up being right about that.
Was there studio meddling? I feel like I heard about this, but I could be wrong. About like, you know, when they kiss, like it's like blocked by an arm.
No. That was the whole discourse at the time of like, you know, like, oh, they wouldn't let them do it. It's like, no, like Sai Yamamoto came out and be like, that's how we want it. We thought it was clearly obvious what happened. Like,
okay, yeah,
you know, but people took that as like censorship, which, you know, it's like thrown around like a boogeyman.
Yeah, I do remember, I think you had said that, like where the director was like, yeah, I didn't, like I thought it was obvious, like I didn't know, yeah, that we needed to like spell it out for you guys kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Which we'll talk about, but that's kind of what I like about the depiction of their relationship throughout this second half, but we'll get into that more in full. But the point I was making is it seems like a lot of people were kind of thrown off by how successful this show was. I certainly don't think they would have had any like aspirations for a movie from the jump until it kind of blew up, and then it's like, oh shit, like, well, we we kind of designed this as like a single season kind of thing. I guess if it's popular we can make more.
I loved the at the end where it's like, see you next level, and I'm like, nope. No, you didn't.
Yeah, I mean, maybe eventually, you know.
Yeah,
you'll never know.
Yeah.
But all right, we should just get on into it. Seventh Skate is called China's On, the Grand Prix Series opening event, the Cup of China Free Skate. So it's time for the free skate portion of the Cup of China. We did the short program last episode. Because Yuri scored highest in the short program, he performs last in the free skate. Yuri increasingly gets nervous and anxious for his performance as the rest of the competition go out and skate their programs. Victor notices this and attempts to calm Yuri down by taking him away from the rink to the parking garage for his warm-up. Unsure how to best motivate Yuri and alleviate his nerves, Victor feigns promising to quit as Yuri's coach if Yuri doesn't win the cup. This massively backfires and Yuri breaks into tears. He asks Victor to understand that he feels like any of the mistakes he makes out on the ice will reflect back onto Victor, and asks Victor to have more faith in him. Out on the ice, Yuri feels surprisingly calm, remarking that he's cried plenty of times before a performance, but never after. Or sorry, other way around. Cried plenty of times after a performance, but never before one. Yuri shocks the audience and Victor by changing his last jump to a quadruple flip, a signature move of Victor's. Victor decides to surprise Yuri in turn by running into his arms and giving him a kiss as he leaves the rink. Pachit goes on to win first place, followed by Yuri in second and Kristoff in third. That was the Cup of China free skate.
I got thrown off by this episode.
Okay.
At the, like, so
was it the men kissing? Did that throw you off? You're like, whoa.
I was like, wait a minute.
That's not legal.
Huh? But the fact that at the end of episode 6, Yuri's like on top of the world. Like, he got first place. He's like, oh yeah, we're good. Like, you know, I can't wait to do good on the next skate or whatever. And then cut to this episode and he's like, I can't sleep. I'm so nervous. I was like, wait a minute, this feels kind of out of nowhere. I mean, I get like, yeah, he gets nervous or whatever, but it just felt like completely at odds with the last episode ending.
But well, they talk about him, you know, like you said, like he's known for this. That's what he says to Victor. It's like, hey, you're my coach. You should know that I always get nervous before I skate. I think part of it is that he's not used to doing so well in the short program, like being on top going into the free skate. And also, like, because he goes last, he has to sit through everybody else's performance before he goes out there. Like, it's just like compounding. Kind of thing.
Yeah, it just confused me a little bit. I had to like go back and make sure I wasn't misremembering. But yeah, it just kind of felt sudden. But yeah, like you said, it's something that is a known quantity about Yuri. It just was presented in a way that I was like, huh? But yeah, shout out to the quadruple flip. Shout out to men kissing. Shout out to Pachit for winning.
Yep. Did you catch the song that he dances to in his free skate, Pachit? We talked about last time, like the amazing fake theme for the King and the Skater.
You mean
that he dances to
Terra Incognita from the King and the Skater 2?
Yes.
The sequel.
I remembered the song because I've listened to it plenty of times, like on the soundtrack, but I forgot that it gets introduced as like, and he'll be dancing to a song from the sequel to King and the Skater, the King and the Skater 2. It's like, hell yes.
King and the Skater 2, skating again.
Yeah. I also forgot that there's other, not worth remembering which exact ones, but other songs that some of the other skaters dance to do get introduced as like being from like clearly fake movies, which I just think is a fun detail.
Yeah. I we'll get into it more later when JJ comes around, but I have a lot of thoughts about JJ. Good thoughts and funny thoughts, but and very humorous thoughts. Be sure to listen on, dear listener. But yeah, I liked, is this where we get introduced to the South Korean one guy?
No, because that's all the next cup. This is all the same people from the previous
episode. Right.
Nobody new in this episode.
Yeah. One thing I like is that Pachit and, you know, Yuri are from the same, like they trained together under Celestino, I think his name is, the coach. In Detroit, and they became human, and like that there's no, and this goes on more as the show goes on, but like they kind of make points to like, oh, we're rivals, we're competing against each other, but they're never like dragging each other down. I mean, Yurio does sometimes, but you know, it's because he's a, you know, insecure little kid or whatever, but like there's like a, it really kind of exemplifies like maybe in a romanticized way, but like the feeling of like good-natured competitiveness and such. Like there's no like, I'm gonna destroy you, Yuri, because you don't deserve to be here, I'm Kristoff and I'm gonna come, or anything like that. It's just, you know, which speaking of Kristoff, I did listen to the dub this time around, and, uh-huh. and boy howdy, I love Kristoff so much.
Yep, voiced by Vegeta himself, Chris Sabat. Yeah, he finishes his free skate and says, I'm going to come again. Chris, I'll talk about it more, but Chris Sabat is on the episode 11 commentary track, and he talks about being approached to voice the character as like, so they tell me about the character, and I'm like, he does what at the end of his performance? Which is funny. But yeah, it's like a lot of these episodes, which I could see, depending on how into it you are, being like a positive or a negative. For me, it's a positive. A lot of these episodes of the competitions are just like, you know, you kind of watch their performances, and maybe some stuff is happening off the rink as well, or people are like eternalizing their conflicts like as they skate. But you're mostly just like watching through the different programs for the most part, which I like the music and I like the skating and I like figure skating generally. So like that stuff works for me, but I could definitely see like if you're not into it, like these episodes really dragging on.
Yeah, I was torn because, in you know, this is a high bar to clear because, you know, it's ping pong, but like you think back to like how ping pong did like internalization of conflict, or like having a conflict play out through the sport itself. And I'm like, damn, that's edge of my seat kind of thing. This one, I did feel a little more out of it when it came to like the conflicts, unless it was something where, cause sometimes it was literally just, oh yeah, they just did their performance. There wasn't much like the conflict was like, oh, I did poorly, I got to like get my head back in the game. It wasn't like, not every skate was like the brother who wants to fuck his sister kind of thing. Like that, you know, is a different, there were some times where I was kind of like, eh, okay. Especially once, when it's a skater that you've already seen performance once. It's like, okay, like, you know, whatever. I prefer like the more melodramatic competition depiction, like in Ping Pong.
I think for me that, like, in addition to that, it's also kind of that a lot of sports anime will use like visual metaphor for the actual sports competitions. But this show plays it very straight, and if you don't have strong feelings about figure skating, it's very tame compared to other sports shows.
Yeah, I prefer the first half of the series where there were more off-the-ice segments, and then it kind of culminates in a on-the-ice segment, whereas from, like, 7 to the end, other than episode 10, it's like you're just on the ice the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, occasionally you get the little things, like in the parking deck or wherever they are, which that's a great scene. I really like that scene a lot.
Yes.
Though it did make Victor seem like a horrible asshole, because it wasn't just like, oh, I said the wrong thing and like I didn't mean to upset Yuri. He kind of like mentally double or even verbalizes like doubling down of like, hey, I don't really know what to do with someone who's crying. It's like, dude, read the room.
In his like internal monologue, he's like, I think the only way I'm going to be able to like get him out of this is if I like break his heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, that's not the right move.
Well, it's like, because he does that, and I'm like, okay, he's, like, trying to see if, like, that's... Well, for one, it's also framed as, like, oh, let's see what happens if I break his heart. Like, he's just, like, toying with mm-hmm. him, but I don't think that was the intention. But the fact that once he starts crying, he almost, like, plays it off as, like, oh, dude, you're kind of embarrassing me here kind of thing. It's like, come on, man. Like, I mean, I get, like, he's Victor. He's the god among men kind of thing, where he really probably does not know how to deal with someone who's crying in front of him. But this is your husband to be, you know.
Well, I like it. I like that he's like in this moment, he's like worried for Yuri that he's so like nervous and anxious and that it's going to affect his performance, but he has like no idea how to like handle that, both as like a skater, like being able to be sympathetic to Yuri's position, but also like as a coach, because he's like completely, you know, new to being a coach and having to deal with those kinds of situations.
Well, and it does like bounce back at the end when like he kisses him and it's like, oh, okay, like he is able to, like, he's learned how to kind of bring Yuri back into the Yuri zone.
Yeah. And I love the, like, I like that whole scene. Basically any scene in these set of episodes where it's just Yuri and Victor, and especially if there are tears involved, I'm like, you know, like tissues at hand, mm-hmm. ready to go. But I also like the way it like comes back in the performance of like, he, you know, introduces the quadruple flip because that's Victor's move. And it's like, I just wanted to surprise you. And then Victor kisses him. It's like, ah, I wanted to surprise you too. And like, ah, that's just so cute to me. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm a mark for all this stuff. So mm-hmm. I get it if it doesn't work for you, but it's like, they're shooting lasers at me specifically.
This hole was just, it was made for me.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, like I totally know how it does, and honestly I think my opinion on the show would probably be higher if I wasn't more or less required to watch it for the podcast. I'd be like, a neat, cool that exists. Not for me, but good for y'all who wanted it. But something just about like the podcast structure being like, oh yeah, no, you need to watch all of this within a time frame.
Right.
A bit.
Now, I think we talked about this last time, but if it were two women competing in the women's Grand Prix and all this stuff, same stuff was happening, would you feel different?
I'd probably be a bit more positive on it, but lately I've just been like, so I've just been getting to the point with Yuri where I'm like, you know what? I just don't care about these characters. I don't care if they're gay. It's boring. See, next season of anime where there's going to be a Yuri show that I'm just not watching because I thought the manga was kind of boring. And beyond that, it's like, it's so close to being laser targeted at me because it's like, oh, girls in a high school rock band and one of them's got a girlfriend and it's about their development. But it's just so boring compared to something like the most recent season of Bang Dream and or Bochi. And it's just like, I've been getting pickier.
Got it. So gay women no longer...
No longer
enough to get you into a show.
We're anti-gay women on this podcast.
Yeah, you heard it here first. We're against gay men kissing on the rink. I won't allow it. We're against gay women too. putting our flags in the sand.
Comes back to the whole that the show does not care about selling figure skating to people that aren't already into it.
Yeah, that's fair. You do have to kind of just be bought in on like figure skating is cool. Which again, like a lot of sports anime are like that, where it's like you kind of got to know what you're getting into to get into it. Not everything's like a ping pong, where it's honestly less about the ping pong itself than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, totally fine to do that. It's just, like I said last episode, I would not have finished this show if I didn't have an obligation.
I will say, I just thought this, so like it's not a fully formed thought, so bear with me as we journey through it. And we talked about this last time about, like, does this show have to depict homophobia? And the answer is no. Though I do wish that there were a little more conflict in the relationship than there is. Like, not necessarily, like, between Victor and Yuri, but, like, their relationship in general. Like, you get some people who are, like, pushing about, like, oh, we want Victor to be a competitor again. Like, that's kind of the main reason people are upset with the thing. But I think of, like, Bloom Into You and how, like, them being, like, in a relationship together is, like, something that they're scared to talk about or scared to, like, be public about kind of thing. And I don't necessarily, again, I don't think that the show should be, have homophobia or anything like that. But I do wish that there was a little more, like, oh, is this something that, like, more doubt or more conflict in that regard? That might make me a little more invested. Though, again, I liked all the Yuri Victor stuff, so I don't know for sure. But it just might be another thread that might add a little more depth to it for me, personally.
Yeah, I think that stuff comes with personal taste. Mm-hmm. Because, personally, I'm fine with either the shows that just, like, completely ignore it or the shows that do go into it. The only times I really think it's an issue is if it tries to go into the societal homophobia and it's done poorly.
Right.
I'd rather have the show not get into that if it can't handle it well.
I don't think I would want this show to introduce conflict that's about the fact that they're two men in love, but I would be okay if the show had more conflict, like, broadly. I was thinking about this earlier, like, this word gets overused, but I would describe this show as kind of, like, wholesome, you know? Like, the conflicts are never, like, on the table for very long. Everything does get resolved. You know, like, there's no hard losses for the most part, or, like, when people are served them, it's, like, meant to be, like, a chance to grow kind of thing. And I like that. It makes it, like, a really pleasant show to watch. But I do think, like, it would be a more, as you said, Danny, like, a more complex show if they added additional layers of conflict, especially, I think, with some of the side characters. Like, there's room to do that, like, hey, not everybody is going to be your Pachit and be, like, you know, friendly with you on and off the ice. Some people are just going to be, you know, rude and treat you as, like, a, you know, like a villain. But I'm fine that the show didn't go that way, personally. I could see that working.
Yeah, like you said, I don't think that the show needs to have anyone be like, they're gay. But I do think, like, this scene where you have Victor, you know, try to break Yuri's heart, I would be okay if that, and, like, by the end of the episode, they're still kind of, like, on rocky terms, and then, you know, they get better over time or something like that. It's kind of a short show for that, like, to have that, you know, come up, because there's so much other stuff, like, there's competition going on, so there's a lot of stuff going on that it might make it hard to fit that conflict in there, but, like you said, wholesome is, a good word for the show, where it's just kind of, like, relaxing, and, like, you know, you have a character like JJ who, you know, buckles under the pressure, and, like, I started tearing up during that, because it's, like, a really, like, sad moment. But then within 5 minutes he's like, JJ style, okay, he's back in the saddle, which is good, I'm glad that he is, but it does kind of, like, you know, wrap everything up in a tidy bow, for better or worse. You know, I think it works for this show. Do I think it might help more if there was a little bit more messiness? Maybe, but that's not this show, and that's okay.
We won't know for probably a few more years, but I assume the movie's probably gonna have more drama, more conflict to it, especially because it's set as a prequel and about, like, a younger Victor. I feel like there's more room for him to be, like, a, you know, bratty teenager in that. And having rewatched it and thinking about it, it makes way more sense to me that they would decide to do some sort of prequel than do a sequel, because everything just kind of wraps up nice and neat at the end of the show. It's like introducing more conflict to things would kind of, like, ruin what they did with this season, whereas, like, going back and, like, filling in some of the stuff about Victor is, like, a move that makes sense to me. But I feel like we're starting to get ahead of things. Is there anything else to mention about episode 7, or should we move on?
I was kind of surprised the kiss came this early. I was from the discussion around the show, I was expecting it to be a lot later.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense in my memory of things because, like, this was, like, the peak of the show. Like, by this point of the show, people who hadn't checked the first couple episodes out had been, like, brought on board. And so you just got a lot of people paying attention to this, and then the kiss happens, and it's, like, suddenly, like, that's all people are talking about on social media and stuff. And as we said last time, we're not rehashing any of that. Who cares? you can do your research if you want to. None of that went anywhere productive, I don't think. None of the conversations that happened around that were productive at all.
I'm sure someone did a 7-hour YouTube essay about it, but that's...
Yeah.
Those weren't as common back in 2016.
Someone's going to do a 7-hour video
essay. I've willed it into existence by verbalizing it.
Yeah. Anyway, finding voice actors for this time was a little bit of a challenge because a lot of the voice actors, like there's a lot of characters, but the voice actors aren't like super interesting or some of them just don't have like any credits. But I've got a couple, starting with Yakov Feltzman. That's Yuri's coach and Victor's ex-coach. He's voiced by Hideaki Tezuka, who voiced A... which is the name of the fourth Raikage in Naruto.
Isn't there also Killer B?
Yeah, Killer B. Okay. That's why he's called A. It's like A, B.
Right.
He also voiced Subaru Zinnerman. I know him as Zinnerman from Gundam Unicorn. He voiced Fleur de Lis, which apparently is the name in Japanese for Lysander in Pokemon XY, which is a much better name. Like, what are we doing? That's the boss of Team Flare from XY. And then he voiced someone named Kurahashi in Terran Resonance, which we've watched, which I think is like one of the higher up like cops in that show. I think he's one of the guys that kind of like steps in to be like, hey, like we're gonna handle this Sphinx stuff now or whatever. But he's in that. All right, which brings us to Eighth Skate, which is called Yuri versus Yuri. Why are they always pitting women against each other, et cetera, et cetera. Yuri versus Yuri, The Horror, Rostelecom Cup short program. So it's time for the Rostelecom Cup in Moscow, and this time both the Yuris are competing. Yuri nails his short program performance while Yurio makes a few mistakes because he's distracted by his grandpa's absence in the crowd. Yuri ends up outscoring Yurio, but another skater from Canada, Jean-Jacques Leroy, a.k.a. JJ, a.k.a. King JJ, he of the JJ style, ends up scoring the highest in the short program due to the sheer technical difficulty of his program and his perfectly executed jumps. After the short program concludes, Yuri gets a call from his sister explaining that Victor's dog, Makachin, is in critical condition after getting some buns stuck in his throat at their viewing party back in Hosetsu. Yuri thinks about how he wasn't able to be there when his own dog dies and convinces Victor to return to Japan, who leaves Yuri in the hands of Yakov as his temporary coach in the free program.
I thought it was so silly. The fact that there's like a cutaway gag to the dog looking at the steamed buns and drooling, and then cut to, oh, fuck, it's choking.
Yeah, writing that out for the description was definitely like, that's a little bit goofy that like that's what happens to the dog. Like, I remember, if you had to ask me, like, oh, do you remember when the dog had to go to the hospital and Victor flew back to Japan? I would have thought it was, like, the dog ate something that it wasn't supposed to, you know, and had to get, like, its stomach pumped or something like that. But it just, like, getting something stuck, like, getting some meat buns stuck in its throat is, like, a little bit goofy. But I overall like the gesture of, like, Yuri immediately, like, on the phone is getting, like, trauma flashbacks to, like, his dead dog. And it's like, Victor, you have to go. And then the way that all works out when they reunite in the end of the next episode, I'm also here for. I like that this episode, at least the beginning part of it, is narrated by Yurio. A couple of these later episodes get like different narrators at the beginning. He calls himself in his narration the unbeatable ice tiger of Russia, which is funny.
Yeah.
I also like that his grandpa drives a Lupin the Third ass looking Russian car.
Yeah. I like Yurio's grandpa a lot. The fact that in this, he, like, immediately gives them the pierogies, and then I think it's next episode, or maybe the one after that, he gives them, like, the pork cutlet ones that are really cute. I love a softy grandpa with a bad back.
He's also got the vibes of, like, I don't understand this figure skating nonsense, but I'm proud of you anyway. You gotta appreciate the honesty. I have in my notes here, Danny, you gestured at this character. I have Ore Emo on ice. Do you want to tell us about the sister fucker?
So they're Italian.
Oh, always Italians wanting to fuck their sisters.
Yeah, I'm telling you. But they're like, so they've been like figure skaters, not like together, like a partner or anything like that, but like, you know, they've both been kind of cheering each other on their whole life. And the girl's name is Sarah. And, you know, she's like kind of like wants to start dating people and like doesn't want her brother to be like physically assaulting anyone who comes near her kind of thing. And it just like the way he talks about her is like really creepy and weird. Like, I don't know. It goes beyond like, oh, he's just like looking out for his sister. It's like I'm the only one you need. I'm the lover you need kind of thing. It's like, oh, my God, calm down, Italian man. Mm-hmm. But it's very, I mean, I get it. Like, there are people, I know people like that who are like, oh, you know, you come near my sister, I'll break your legs or whatever. And typically they're not like nice people. You know, they're being like weird and controlling. But I'm glad that they get the development, I think, later on, where the sister's like, hey, fucking stop it. I'm going to date people and you can't stop me. It's like, hell yeah.
And also she realizes, like, you know, like, if he doesn't, like, you know, sever his attachment to me, like, he's not going to become a better skater kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like she's also doing it to, like, you know, help him out. But yeah, this is probably, like, the worst of the, like, side character subplots. What was I gonna say? Oh, what was weird to me is I was looking at my anime list for the voice actors, and whoever decided to write the character synopsis for him, his name is I didn't do his voice actor because he wasn't interesting. His name's like Michael something another.
Michelle Crispino.
Michelle Crispino. Yeah. Whoever did the character description for him on Mal, which not all these characters have, so someone went out of their way to write one for him specifically, described him as like a hard virgin was the exact words used, and also that like his obsession with his sister is like antithetical to the stereotype of like sexy Italian stud or whatever. I'm like, who wrote this? What? I'm assuming a lot. I guess just like a weird character like that you could latch a lot of that ideology onto, but yeah, not great.
Yeah, and I would say he's probably the only one that's lame. I think all the other side characters, you know, even the ones that are like the South Korean guy, Sung Jil Lee, you know, was like really stoic and all that, and like I like that during his performance he like is calculating the scores on the fly. I think it's really cool.
That's his most notable character trait, is that he could do the math in his head about how many points he's going to get.
But even him, like when he, you know, when it becomes evident, or when he learns that he's not going to be able to go to the Grand Prix, he even gets a little moment where he, you know, is walking down the hall and cries, you know, kind of silently to himself. And it's like, oh, okay, he's, you know, he's still human. He still gets a hug from Yuri, you know. So there are other characters that like are only there a little bit, like... the American, I think, is only there for like one episode and he kind of ducks out. But even he's like, the only one that sucks is Mickey, the Italian guy.
And it's mostly because he gets like a lot of time compared to the other like minor characters.
Sorry, there is a second one that sucks. It's the Russian guy who's like, I hate my ex-girlfriend. Fuck her. I hope she dies. I'm going to cast a hex on her. It's like, okay, dude, whoa.
Yeah, but again, with him, like, his stuff is so minor in the grand scheme of the show, especially compared to the sister fucker guy, and also, like, I don't know, it's kind of funny. Like, it's stupid.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate.
Well, especially because all the characters who see him skate are like, jeez, yikes. Like, the show itself recognizes, like, hey, this guy's cringe.
Well, and he's, like, he's doing his, I guess this is something we didn't talk about in episode 7, he's doing, like, his free skate in the, Cup of China, and he starts the performance off looking at like his ex in the crowd and being like, I'm gonna win you over with my performance, and then she's like disgusted and gets off and leaves, and he's like, oh my god, and then suddenly he's skating with anger for the rest of the rest of the thing. But speaking of side characters, tell me about Jean-Jacques Leroy, Danny.
Yeah, shout out to a guy who I thought he was like a rock musician, and I think they say something like he collaborates with a rock group or whatever. I didn't realize that it's like he commissioned a song made for himself called The Theme of King JJ.
Uh-huh. Performed by fake Coldplay.
Right. And the entire crowd knows the song and like are all cheering him on with it. He's so over the top. Everyone hates him. All the ice skaters are like, fuck this guy. I think he's good though. I like him. He's like a cocky asshole, but I don't know. I think he's cool.
Especially with like where his character goes. He's probably got the mm-hmm. most interesting arc of the minor characters.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he makes like J's with his fingers and says like it's JJ style, and like he's clearly like a crowd favorite kind of skater of just like everybody loves his personality. Like you said, they sing along to his songs and they clap along and cry while they're singing the lyrics.
I love Which that. I mean, hey, I did the same thing at the like during his last skate when they all like are trying to cheer him up. I'm like, oh my god, this is good. This is the melodrama I want. Like the rising, you know, like, hey, I actually am, like, people still love me. I'm going to do my best for my fans kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. We get to see Yurio perform for the first time in, like, a competition event. We get some different animation than, I think, the last time we saw him perform Agape. Or maybe we didn't get to see much of his Agape performance during that. I feel like the show's pretty good about when you see the same performance multiple times, you get to see a little bit more of it each time, or you see it in a different way.
Well, this is also the time that he fucks up a lot, right? Like, his grandfather's not there, and his grandfather is the kind of inspiration for his love, his Agape.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's his grandfather. It's real next episode, like, oh, he wasn't feeling well, so he wasn't able to make it. But I did like that before he gets on the ice, Yuri and Victor realize that he's, like, found his Agape. Mm-hmm. And they're, like, genuinely excited for him. Which, again, like, kind of goes to the whole vibe of the show of, like, hey, these people, they're competitors. And even if they don't always get along, like, Yurio is, you know, a bratty teenager. Like, like they're still happy for him. They still care about this little scamp.
Yeah, even though like he lost out to Yuri in the competition to see who Victor's going to coach, like they still are excited for him and his program.
Well, and it ends up being a good thing for him that you know, that he did lose out cuz it gave him the drive.
Yep, and he wouldn't have been working with that ballerina prima donna.
Mhm.
Also like during like the kiss and cry for Yuri, Victor kisses his skate. Which is hot. I appreciate that. But yeah, I really like in Yurio's performance, the angle they show him doing the like flying sit spin, where it's like POV of his skate looking at his face. It's very cool. I really noticed it in the last couple of episodes, but you definitely notice, or if you've seen the show broadcast before, they really cleaned up the animation for the home media release, because I remember some of this stuff by this part in the show starting to look a little bit rough, and it's like pretty clean on the Blu-ray.
This might be a silly question. I might have asked it before. Do anime generally make the episodes in order?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, like a lot of things, like multiple episodes will be in production at a time, but like they'll literally like finish it kind of one at a time, because there's usually like a, you know, you've got like a, you're, they're still working on the show by the time the first episode is being broadcast, kind of thing. Like obviously they finished a few episodes, but like, you know, they'll continue production into the broadcast of the show.
Gotcha.
Which is why like the show
definitely need to watch Shirobako at some point.
Yes. Yeah.
Does that show like fall apart by the end or something?
No,
or?
it's about making anime. Or you could read literally any article on a Sakuga blog and learn a lot about how anime gets made.
The only thing I read is the Metal Gear Solid novelizations.
That's true. And only Metal Gear going in those eyeballs.
God. All about to talk about, not on this podcast though.
Right. I'm trying to think of anything else specific to this episode that we haven't talked about.
It's kind of the hard part about like the last half of the show is that it's like, you know, 8 and 9 and then 10, 11, 12 are kind of like all linked.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, mostly like 11 and 12 because it's like, competition.
Mm-hmm.
8 and 9 are one competition.
Yeah.
I will say it's at this point in the show that I'm like, I like figure skating, but I don't know a lot of the technicalities of stuff, like the differences between the jumps. And it made me think, for a lot of the recent like Kamen Rider and Sentai shows, they do these like web specials or I'm actually not sure where they air, but they do these like couple minute long specials where they like demo the the process of doing the henshin for like the riders or the sentai, and I'm like, they should do those, but for the jumps where it's like Victor and Yuri in character, like explaining to you, the audience, the different techniques. Or I guess like I think we talked about this last time, like how at the end of episodes of Sangatsu no Lion, they'll give you a little shogi lesson. It would have been fun if the show did that.
Mm.
And then, yeah, the dog gets sick and goes to the vet at the end of the episode. All right. Well, of course, the voice actor for this episode has to be JJ himself, yeah. Jean-Jacques Leroy, who is voiced by Memorial Miano, which should need no introduction, but I'm shocked we haven't covered him on anything so far, to my surprise. He is Light Yagami in Death Note.
Oh.
He is Rentaro Okabe in Steins Gate. I only put that in there because I know he's like the main character in that. He's Osamu Dazai in Bungo Stray Dogs. Love that guy. He's Death the Kid in Soul Eater. Takumi Fujiwara, specifically in the new Initial D movie, like Legend series. He's Rin Matsuoka in Free. He's Ling Yao in FMA Brotherhood. Taichi Mashima in Chia Yafuru. Masayomi Kida in Durarara, Setsuna F. Seie in Gundam 00. Also love that guy. Kotaro Tatsumi in Zombieland Saga. Everybody loves his performance in that. Kiba in Wolf's Rain. This is for you, Danny. He's Ryuji Sakamoto in Persona 5.
Nice.
This is for both me and you, Danny. He is Ignis Sentia in Final Fantasy 14. Or sorry, 15, not 14.
It's like, oh my god.
But he's our boy Iggy in 15. He is Reo Niboshi in Sarazanmai. It's one of the like otter police officers, also gay. He is Dent in Pokemon Black and White. That's Cillian for people who watch that show in English. He is Mendo in the new Urusei Yatsura, and he is Gamma Number 2 in the newish Dragon Ball Super movie, Dragon Ball Super Hero. But yeah, big name voice actor. Lots of credits for him. I had to pick and choose. Obviously not exhaustive. All right. Well, that brings us to the second half of the Rassilon Cup, Ninth Skate, which is also like a lot of these like share title, like parts of the titles are basically the same. So this one is just called Yuri versus Yuri, the horror Rassilon Cup free skate. The only thing that's different is the free skate part. Before the free skate begins, Yurio receives some pork cutlet piroshki from his grandpa and which fills him with the love and determination he needs to complete a perfect performance in the free skate. Which gives him enough overall competition points to guarantee an appearance at the Grand Prix final. Yuri, on the other hand, struggles with his performance without Victor to coach him. In the end, he just barely receives enough points to advance to the Grand Prix final, winning out over the sister fucker. JJ gives another technically impressive performance and ends up placing first. After the competition, Yuri goes around hugging all of his competitors, clearly missing Victor. And Yurio shows him a rare kind gesture by giving him one of his grandpa's pork cutlet piroshkis. Then as he lands back in Japan, Yuri is greeted by Victor and a recovered Makuchin. As they embrace, Yuri asks Victor to stay on as his coach until he retires. And Victor in turn asks Yuri to never retire. That's the scene that had the tears coming out for me.
Mm.
It's very cute and wholesome. And I like them. Also cute is Yurio giving Yuri the pork cutlet piroshkis, as you mentioned, Danny. You could say the ice is starting to melt, fall on his heart.
He's just going to be the normal tiger now.
Mm.
The unbeatable
the melted tiger of Russia.
Yeah, unbeatable puddle tiger. Yeah, not much really to say about this episode because it's mostly just them skating. I like the Yakov stuff, how like during the kiss and cry, Yakov is kind of, you know, chiding Yuri for part of his performance. And Yuri's like, this is where Victor learned it kind of thing. And I like the hugging competition. Someone's like, oh, everyone's getting hugs. What is this, a hugging competition? I also like that one of the guys, I don't even remember his name, his song is like, or his theme or whatever is like, cyberpunk, I have ceased to be human.
And he's just like skating to some like Giorgio Moroder type music. That's Emil, who's the voice actor for this episode.
Oh my god.
It's the only reason I know his name. But yeah, his theme is cyberpunk, which is funny.
Mm.
I'll say something positive about the Italian sister guy, which is like the plot may be dumb, but at least like they're still doing the thing of like the way he's skating and like his internal monologue while he skates is all like, you know, reflective of like the conflict between him and his sister, like off the ice. That's the stuff I really like about this episode. There's some especially good moments of those in the finale for me. But I always like appreciate that of like the conflict off the ice and on the ice kind of parallel or mirror each other.
Yeah, and to his credit, he does like respect his sister's decision. Like he pushes back like because he's like, oh no, I can't, you know, whatever. But by the end of the skate, he's like, you know what? Like this is the last time I'm skating for you. You're right. You need like we both need to, you know. Like, you'll always be my sister, but, like, we both need to continue to grow alone kind of thing. So he's not, like, shitty about it. He is generally accepting.
Yeah. And I really like the, like, duality you kind of see, across the show, but I noticed it in this episode between Yuri and Yurio of, like, you know, Yuri feels like he's at the end of his career and, you know, is at this point contemplating retiring and, is kind of like trying to make the most of what he thinks is his last season, while Yurio is like, this is his first season and he's like super young and full of like talent and is like, you know, in a hurry to like use all that talent before he like loses his youth, which I like that like comparison between the two Yuris. Also, I feel like you really like can tell that Yurio is like 15 years old, like, you know, a lot of his writing and stuff like comes across earnest as like a 15-year-old professional skater can, I guess.
Right. It is wild that, I guess in real life, that like a 15-year-old competes against 25-year-olds and potentially has an advantage in being so young kind of thing.
I mean, that's how gymnastics goes, right?
Does it? I have no idea.
Like, I'm pretty sure, Simone Biles was like a dominant Olympics gymnastics competitor when she was in her later half of her teens.
Yeah, because I think it's the Olympic minimum age is like 16, I think. So yeah, it makes sense that you'd have like 16-year-olds against, you know, 20-something-year-olds. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking of like other sport, like, I don't know, it'd be like going to a baseball game and seeing, Babe Ruth striking out a 15-year-old. Shows how much I know baseball.
Yeah, I feel like that's more definitely like a more common thing with like Olympic type sports of like the larger age disparity between competitors. I was gonna shout out the dub because the voice actor for Yuri does a really good job with the like delivering the narration during his free skate. I was overall very impressed by the dub. Thought it was good. Did you watch the dub for all six of these episodes, Danny, or just like one of them?
For all six, though, I did switch back to the sub track briefly in the last episode because I read that a real figure skater like had a guest voice thing in the sub, but not the dub, and he did. Which, I don't know why they dubbed over him again because he's speaking in French in the Japanese dub, but whatever. It's Stefan Lambiel.
I got it ready to go. I'll tell you all about Stefan Lambiel.
Okay.
And he's Swiss.
But... Oh, Swiss, okay. He was speaking in French, but yeah.
Oh, okay. I guess they're known to do that. Trying to think how much I have left to say about this one other than just the ending, which I think is very cute. I really like Yuri, like, finishes his performance and like realizes he's like just barely made the Grand Prix competition and he's just going around hugging everybody because Victor's not there. So he's like losing his mind.
He's not only like hugging everyone, but like after he's hugged everyone, he's like walking away, arms still kind of up. He's like in a daze the entire time.
And he has to like chase after Yurio to get a hug from him.
Mm-hmm.
It's just cute. There's a lot of cute stuff in the show that is why I like it. And then again, the scene at the end is what, like, I don't know, couldn't tell you what exactly about it, but just like totally like got to me. I think like the visuals are really strong anytime there's like an intimate moment between Victor and Yuri, just like the framing of things, like the way it's all storyboarded, and yeah, that just really really gets me. I thought about how like earlier the day when I was watching this, you had messaged me about, you know, like the Metal Gear 4 novelization really moving you to tears, and I was like, damn, we're all out here crying today over
media. I was literally walking around my house like trying to compose myself because it was fucking I literally thought earlier when I was reading it, like, you know, I don't know how people cry when they read a book. Like, I, you know, for me it's like really a visual thing that, like, it's like a combination of visual and audio that makes me cry. And then I got to towards the end of the book, and there were a few times where I was like, oh, fuck. And then at the very end, I just broke down. I was like, shit, people can fly, slash books can make you cry.
Right. Yeah, sometimes it just gets you. Also, again, been congested. So, like, you know, brought me to tears. I was like, oh, damn, like, that actually made my, like, sinuses feel better to cry. So, all right. Well, unless we got anything else for the, or sorry, ninth skate.
Yeah, no, I think for me, honestly, the emotional high point in this thing was the Yurio Piroshki thing. I thought that was really sweet.
Yeah, everything at the end of this episode.
Definitely.
Real good.
I kind of wish this show was about Yurio instead of Yuri. I find him a much more compelling character. But
he definitely has more room to grow.
Is what it is.
Like, and like, is it more interesting in that way, for sure, to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I like Yuri being a nervous, anxious goober. Can relate. But anyway, the guy you were talking about before, Mr. Cyberpunk, Emil Nikola, who is a skater from the Czech Republic, voiced by Satoshi Hino, who has a couple of interesting credits. He's Kyojuro Rengoku in Demon Slayer. I've seen that guy's face around enough to know that's like a main character in that.
Is that the blonde guy?
Yeah. I read a couple chapters, I think a single volume of Demon Slayer, and got bored.
I read like four. There's better shonen battle series.
He is Momonga in Overlord. Again, I've never seen Overlord, but obsessed with the character names. Not that one though, but that's the main character, I believe, in Overlord. He is Ryo Asuka from like Devilman, but specifically in Cyborg 009 versus Devilman.
Oh my
which
God.
Which is like a mid-2000s movie OVA.
Speaking of cyberpunk, like I tell you what, that name.
Exactly. speaking of sports anime, he is also Daichi Samamura in Haikyuu, and then he is Shut in Go Princess Precure, which is one of the villains in that show.
Love a name that is also a verb.
Yes. Like Shot Weapon, which I swear to God is a name of a character in Aura Battler Dunbine. Tomino unmatched with character names.
Or the it's not a verb, but it's like the Jan person character. His name is like Gun Sheriff.
Gun Gibson.
That's it. Yeah.
All right. 10th skate is called Gotta Supercharge It. Pre Grand Prix final special. Getting really tripped up by the pre. Mm-hmm. So all the finalists are in Barcelona and enjoying their time before the Grand Prix final. Victor gets to hang out at the pool with Chris. Yurio goes on a motorcycle date with Kazakhstani skater Otabek, who's only really been mentioned up until this point. Yuri gets to go shopping with Victor, and they buy matching rings for him and Victor. There's absolutely no heterosexual explanation for this. They then serendipitously meet up with Minako, Yuri's sister, and invite several of the other skaters to have dinner together. Pachit notices their rings and congratulates them on their marriage. Everyone reflects on the last year's post-Grand Prix final banquet, where Yuri got really drunk, strip-danced with Chris, and drunkenly asked Victor to be his coach, which we get to see in the ED/post-credit scene. That's basically the episode. They just get to hang out and have fun and be gay.
Did you see how much the rings cost?
No.
It's like, I had to pause it to see. It was basically 800 euros. It was like 790 euros. That's why Yuri's like, I'll pay in installments.
But like for, I don't know, like gold rings.
Oh, it's
I
not
thought
bad.
You were going to say like a crazy number.
No. But
yeah.
But just for good luck charms and nothing else. They're just good luck charms. Don't, you know.
Yeah. This is like, so, you know, like, you know, they're not being straightforward about that, but like, I like that when Pachit like teases them of like, oh my God, congrats on your marriage. It's not like, it's not played as a joke.
I wouldn't even call it teasing. They just, he's like, just genuinely is like, hey, congrats. Like,
yeah. Or he gets like misunderstands. Mm-hmm. And like, but like, I feel like in another show, it would be like, you know, there'd be a lot of guffawing about it. And it's just like you said, they're genuine. Everybody's genuine. Like, oh my God. And the whole like restaurant cheers along with them. Like, oh, congrats. And then, like, well, Victor gets to be like, you know, like, oh, well, you know, I'll actually marry you if you bring me home a gold medal in the Grand Prix final.
And the mood shifts completely.
So it's not like a, oh, yeah, you know, I would marry you if I were gay or, you know, anything like that. It's like, you know, it's way more earnest, which is good. And then they're wearing those rings like every episode from here on out, too. Like even when Yuri's skating in the next two episodes, still wearing the ring.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Well, not just wearing it, but like it's like glistening. Like there's a shot where he's like laying in bed and there's like a fucking lens flare coming off of his ring, which is great.
I like Victor and Chris in the pool. Because it's like winter in Barcelona. Mm-hmm. They're like in an outdoor pool. And Victor's like, oh, it's not as cold as it is in Russia this time of year, but it is colder than I expected it to be.
Yeah.
And then Chris shows up and is like, you're like, oh, I was going to go skinny dipping. I guess I can't.
And Victor's like, no, you can.
Yeah. And then Victor takes like sexy photos of Chris for Chris at the pool. Victor's also got this like opening monologue where he's like, oh, the two things I like to do on vacation are live and love or whatever. Yeah. It's like Victor said, live, laugh, love.
And then we get the return of Instagram as a plot device where Yuri's like, oh, I guess, you know, he's like, oh, Pachit's here. And oh, I guess Victor's with Chris. And, you know, scrolling through Instagram to see where everyone's at, kind of thing. We get like a little shopping montage, and I left the bag of nuts on the bench, which is great. And then the final like banquet meal, or like not banquet meal, but like the restaurant they're all eating together in, and I like they don't like bring too much attention to it because they kind of get diverted talking about Yuri being drunk. But the fact that like, you know, Yuri has changed, where he used to not socialize with everyone because he was so nervous, but now he, you know, in part because of Victor and just in general, like he's changed and now he wants to be friendly with people, even if he only thinks of Pachit as his foreign friend kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And then we've got Yuri X Otabek, very popular ship dynamic from the show.
I love that shit. I love how, like, you know, he saves Yurio from the throngs of people. And then, you know, they have their little moment of like, hey, like, you know, we skated together, you know, 5 years ago or whatever. And, you know, they bond over that and they're like, hey, let's be friends. It's great.
Yeah. And I like that, like, Yurio's like gotten a bunch of fans. Like he's got, do they have a name? Oh, Yuri's Angels.
Oh, right.
He's got like this like massively forming fan base around him, and he's like trying to like get away from them. And Otabek comes in on his motorcycle and like whisks him away, which is cute. And then like the way it's like shown through like the social media posts is like the Yuri's Angels are like, he's been kidnapped. It's like, why would this other skater kidnap him? And I like the little bit of like, you know, Yurio's like, I don't remember you at all. And Otabek's like, yeah, no, we went to the same training camp. And it's in like the next episode, I think, that like while watching Otabek skate, Yurio does remember, like he has a flashback remembering like being in the same like training program they were in together.
Yeah, because I think it was Otabek's first year in the junior division, and Yurio would have been like 10, I think, because it was like 5 years ago. Mm-hmm.
I think they say Otabek is like 18 or 19, mm-hmm. and then Yurio is 15.
Yeah.
So they're a couple years apart. But I like all that.
Well, I like that, like, when they go to, like, dinner together later, it is, so it's just, like, the two of them, and then the Yuri's sister, and then, like, the ballet instructor from Hesetsu.
Minako,
yeah. Are like drooling outside of the restaurant because they're in there, and then they go in there, and then like there's a whole like all the skaters are there together kind of thing. I like that kind of Yurio's like, you know, why can't we just eat alone? I thought it was just gonna be two of us kind of thing. But you know, it's like the old trope of begrudgingly being friendly with someone, but deep down you know they really are friends kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And all the Yuri freaking out because he didn't remember. He's like, oh, I didn't talk to anyone at last year's banquet. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? You don't remember? And he's like, huh? That whole segment is great. And then the actual footage from it later.
Yeah, the way that all works is super cool because they talk about like, oh, yeah, you were drunk and you were like dancing around practically naked. And Chris is like, yeah, I basically was naked. but like the way they talk about it, and they kind of like, oh, I've got photos if you want to see, but we don't see any of this. They don't do any flashbacks to it like in the moment. And then you cut to the ED instead of the normal ending song and animation. It's like, I think it is the same song, just a different like composition, mm-hmm. like different version of it. But over footage of like, it's like scrolling, it's basically like scrolling through someone's like gallery on their phone, looking at photos from like a year ago, which is very cute. And then the final scene being like a post-credit scene of like Yuri very drunk going up to Victor and be like, hey, be my coach. And then you see it in Victor's eyes. It's like, ah, oh, that's the moment. That's the moment when he he decided. They're also, it's also at this point that they cut to like they're setting up for the viewing party back at Yuri's like home, like at the hot springs. And Minami's there. Announcing that he's gonna be like the like, oh, I'm gonna be your ambassador for tonight's viewing party or whatever. Minami of Minami's Boogie from like five episodes ago or whatever.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot that they were.
Like the other Japanese skater mm-hmm. that he competes with at the like local competition. I totally didn't clock that when I first watched the show. So noticing like, oh, that's Minami. Like that's fun. Mm-hmm. It's a nice little detail.
I would love to watch a. Any sporting event, I always love when there's someone who's like really knowledgeable there and they're like, oh, that's like, you wouldn't think of it. That's really fucking hard to do or whatever.
Yeah, they're like Onsen or whatever, like seems like the place to be to watch all these competitions, mm-hmm. especially with like all the food and stuff they show.
Oh, yeah. When we get the whole, because this one's narrated by Victor, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, I've had so many pork cutlet bowls and I get to be in a bath that's larger than any tub. And oh, it's heaven on earth. I'm like, damn, it does sound like heaven. Shit.
Yeah.
Though kind of contrasted by the fact that earlier in the series, they're like, yeah, the whole town's kind of closing down. Like, you know, it used to be a tourist thing, but no one goes there anymore. It's like, oh, but I guess they're doing better now that Yuri and them are involved.
Yeah, presumably all it took was Victor coming to town once, posting on social media, hey, I'm here to revitalize the local economy.
Yeah, he should do one of the like HDTV shows where it's like, or Gordon's Kitchen Nightmares, but it's just Victor showing up places.
Or it's like Undercover Boss, but it's just Undercover Victor. I think the only other thing I have to say about this one is I like how much everybody can't stand JJ.
Yes.
Because JJ shows up to their dinner and kind of like makes everybody go home. It's like, oh, you're here now. I guess we're all going to leave.
Well, and because he's like, oh, because, you know, I'll be the one that's getting married after I win gold and everyone leaves. Right. And he's like, no, it was a joke. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that. He definitely seems like someone who, I mean, is a bit of a narcissist, but also like says things thinking that like, oh, they'll understand I'm joking, but it comes across like completely wrong.
Yeah, it's like he plays up the narcissism for like his on ice performance stuff or like when he's in like a public setting, but doesn't know how to quite like turn that down when he's like not.
Yeah. Oh, and to his downfall where he's like, oh, I have this like myth built around me and I'm in like the largest competition I can be kind of thing, and he falters, but that's later.
I also wanted to mention that at the beginning of the episode, I think it's like JJ's fiance sees Yurio and she calls him a scary little boy, which is very funny. All right, well Otobek Alton is voiced by Yoshimasa Hosoya. Also got a couple or some big performances for him. He is Nezumi in Number 6. He is Nicholas D. Wolfwood in Trigun Stampede. He is Tokiyami in My Hero Academia. He is Joe in Megalobox and Megalobox 2. He's Sentaro Kamabuchi in Kids on the Slope. He is Dopo Kunikida in Bungo Stray Dogs. Sosuke Yamazaki in Free. That's the main character. Arata Wataya in Chiha Yafuru, Shiro Ogami in Brand New Animal, Orga Itsuka in Gundam IBO, Ota in Tanaka-kun Is Always Listless, that's a favorite of mine. He is Yamato Ishida, specifically in Digimon Try, none of the other stuff. He's Gunpei Hyuga in Kuroko's Basket, Tetsuya Yuki in Ace of the Diamond, and Kuranosuke Shiraishi in Prince of Tennis, triple threat of sports anime. He is Tenga Onigara in Mob Psycho 100. He's like the delinquent that then ends up like joining like the bodybuilding club.
Oh, right.
After like having like a change of heart. And then most importantly, in Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds, he is a character named Dick Pitt.
Nice. Up there with Doobie White, Speed Weed, yep. And Dick Wolf.
Yep. So just had to put that one out there in the world. All right. Well, that brings us to the Grand Prix final with the 11th skate. Gotta supercharge it. Grand Prix final short program. So it's time for the Grand Prix final. Yuri is first up in the short program. He puts on a pretty solid performance of Eros, but is outshined by Yurio's perfect performance of Agape, which breaks the world record previously set by Victor for the short program. Pachit, Otebek, and Chris all give good performances, but King JJ succumbs to the pressure and gives an extremely messy performance. But he perseveres, thinking about how much he means to his fans. Back at their hotel after the short program, Yuri asks Victor to stop being his coach after the season is over and return to skating. Put a pin in that because he doesn't explain why he asks him that until beginning of the next episode. But yeah, these last, especially this one, like very much just like, all right, you're going to watch all the short programs and then a little plot is going to happen. And then that's the episode. Mm-hmm. But still enjoyed it. But not too much going on in this one. We get Shall We Skate Again, which is always good.
Yeah. And yeah, like you said, like the most kind of interesting thing in this, probably other than the fact that like Yurio gives a really good performance, is the JJ thing where, you know, he just can't get out of his head. Like he literally is just like thinking of his other competitors doing really well. And it just, you know, he psychs himself out and has a bad performance, but then pulls it around once everyone starts cheering for him, which, you know, again, goes to the romanticized version of sports where it's like, yeah, everyone's just there for good competition and like the love of the game kind of thing. Obviously, there are a lot of more things that go into it in real life, but in this universe, someone can do that and they have a bad performance, but everyone still loves them and they pull out of it, which good. That's great. I love that.
I really like the way this is done visually of like he like, you know, imagines himself like falling off of a cliff after like seeing all of his competitors, and then like as he's falling, he's like, you know, succumbing to the pressure, like giving into his, you know, anxiety and everything, and then he's like, no, I'm JJ, and he like digs his skate into the like cliffside that he's falling off of and like claws his way back up, and it's like that's good. It's good stuff.
I mentioned this earlier, but I wish more of the show was like that.
Yeah, honestly, same. I think this is like some of the peak shit for me. Mm-hmm.
I think I like it because it's the first time they really do this where they abstract what's going on in the skater's head. Like it earns its impact because it's not a thing they're constantly doing. But I could definitely see that, like, you know, amplifying some of the other skaters, you know, whole deals. I mean, we do see a little bit of that. We didn't talk about it, but I think in episode 7, it's like the American skater, one of the other skaters I can't remember from that episode, is like his free program is like he's supposed to be like an assassin, or something like that, and he's like imagining himself as an assassin running from like cops or whatever, like less like emotional weight to that. Every now and then it'll be a little bit more abstract, I guess. Or like with Giorgio imagining himself as like a prince, which is more ridiculous than like, you know, thematically resonant like this is. But yeah, I really like this. Like it, like JJ's such a ridiculous character when they first introduce him. And then for him to actually have like a compelling arc by the end of it is very cool of like, hey, you can be like, you know, really technically proficient and feel like you're on top of the world. And then you just have a, you know, a day where it all gets to you and you can't perform. And it just happened to be on a really big stage for him to have a moment like that.
I'm sure everyone who's like performed at this level has like a story like this. Like, you know, even Stefan Lambiel, I'm sure, has like colossally fucked up on a big performance at one point or another.
Yeah. I really like something I thought about in this episode specifically is after Yuri finishes his performance, you really see the full like whirlwind of emotions he feels after finishing his short program, where it's like, that was good, but it could have been better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of thing of just like, you know, not like both being satisfied and happy to have gotten through it, but also still feeling like you could have done more, like that's, or it wasn't enough kind of thing. Real good like facial animation and stuff there to like deliver that. We also do see Pachit's like skating and he's thinking about to his humble origins or whatever, and we see he's got like 5 hamsters or something like that, or gerbils or whatever, some sort of little rodent.
I personally don't like rodents as pets, but I respect the hustle.
Yeah.
Like I don't personally want one is what I mean. But like yeah. when someone yeah. has no, like you... a ferret or like a hamster, it's like good for you.
Oh, no, we get it. You're anti-rodent. You're...
it's my one
sea hamtaro. It's
me and my friends would beat hamtaro to death with yes. hammers.
I'll tell you what. But yeah, and then the only other note I have that's in all caps is that they're still wearing the rings, which we talked about, that, you know, Yuri's out on ice and he's wearing a ring. It's cute. But we can just go straight into Final Skate. I have no voice actor for that one. Which Final Skate is the second half of the Grand Prix final. Got a supercharge it. Grand Prix final free skate. So picking up where the last episode ended in the hotel room with Yuri and Victor, Victor breaks down in tears as Yuri explains his plan to retire so that Victor can return to skating. Ultimately, they decide that they'll make their own decisions about their futures once the Grand Prix final is over. The free skate begins with JJ, who manages to redeem his off performance in the short program by putting on a strong free skate. Determined to put on a performance that will make Victor want to return to skating, Yuri decides to up the difficulty of his free skate and gives a almost perfect performance, earning him the new free skate world record, which was also previously held by Victor. Seeing Yuri break his world record in the free skate right after Yurio broke his record in the short program leads Victor to make his decision to return to skating next season. Yurio, in turn, puts on a stunning performance with the goal of convincing Yuri not to retire from skating as he desires to keep competing with him. Yurio ends up winning the Grand Prix final with Yuri in second and JJ in third. In his Grand Prix final exhibition, Yuri skates a duet with Victor. You have to watch the OVA if you want to see Yurio's exhibition. Victor does return to skating, but also decides to remain on as Yuri's coach at the same time. And in the final shot of the series, we see Yuri in Russia along with Victor and Yurio, presumably all training together. Sometimes a family can be one Russian man and his two Russian Yuris, or his two Yuris, one Russian, one Japanese.
I've adopted my Japanese Yuri.
He's 16. They've adopted him. Yuri and Victor got married and they adopted Yurio.
Yeah, it's a nice little cap off. I mean, the fact that they are within like 0.1 points away from each other or whatever is very, you know, fitting kind of thing. And the fact that it's not like, oh, I failed, I only got a silver or whatever. It's like, no, they, you know, they both did their best, and that's really all that matters to them.
Yeah. I always try to track when I'm watching a sports show, like, you know, how often is the main character winning? Like, is this a show about just like, I'm going to be the best, and so I have to win every single competition? Or is it more about like, you know, is it the journey, you know, kind of thing? And I like that in the way they've constructed this episode, like Yuri needs to win second in order to realize that he still has room to improve, and therefore it's worthwhile for him to stay in the realm of competitive figure skating. Like if he won first, it wouldn't have the same impact. Like none of this would have worked out the way it does, which I like. I like the scene at the beginning. Again, anytime it's Victor and Yuri just talking to each other, and especially if one of them is crying, I'm just like, you know, like in full watching a soap opera mode. especially because like I thought back to watching this episode, the time that they're at the parking garage and like Yuri breaks into tears and Victor's like thrown off by it. He's like, oh, I've never made someone cry before a competition before. And then this time it's Victor's turn to cry. Like it's good. It's a good parallel. But I ultimately like that they decide like, hey, we want, or like we've got different desires for ourselves and for each other. Like, let's just like let the Grand Prix be what it is and make our own decisions after this about like what we individually want to do kind of thing. Feels like a healthy, healthy way to go about that. But then, yeah, you get to see everybody's free skate kind of happen. I like the whole kind of how I blocked it out of my description of like Yuri is skating for Victor and then Yurio is skating for Yuri, and like kind of how that's been like the season long buildup is that all really works for me. Where I'm rooting for them in that moment.
Yeah, because there are a lot of points where like Yurio will think to himself like, oh, like he's changed a lot since the hot battle in Ice Castle or whatever the thing was called. The fact that both of them are, you know, they respect each other enough, even if Yurio would never admit it, that, you know, they're driving themselves to because of the other. And then Yuri has the same with Victor as well. But, and the fact that they do their little ice dance at the end is very cute as well.
Yes. Very gay. It's also like they explicitly mention that it's that they're doing a duet to the music that Yuri performed in like his free program last year during the Grand Prix final. So it's like a fitting song choice. Yeah, it's like a super like mushy happy ending, which I like because I like these characters and want them to have a happy ending.
Yeah, I can't wait to see where they go in the sequel.
No, they're gonna do the Victor prequel, and we're gonna find out why Victor's canceled actually because of what he did.
He 16-year-old. He supports the Russian invasion of Ukraine.
Yes. Yeah.
It is kind of interesting that at the beginning of this season they talk about like, you know, Yuri is 23 or something like that, and how
it's like 25.
Yeah. Yeah. And how he's like, you know, I'm getting up there in age when it comes to ice skaters kind of thing. But that they are still like, yeah, we're going to do it next year again kind of thing. Like there's kind of talks about like, oh, I might retire just because I'm like too old now. But I like that they're not doing that and that they're kind of trying to find a way to both compete and to coach together kind of thing, which I think is really cool.
Definitely.
Yeah. I don't have much else to say about the ending. Honestly, personally myself, it's just like, hey, you know, it ends on a strong note. It ends with everyone kind of getting a resolution to their arc and then, you know, signifying that it's not the end. Like there's always next season, always next competition, whether everyone's competing or they're coaching or whatever, there's always the next time.
Yeah. Which is like a fitting way to end the show of like, you know, I always like endings that like leave it open to the possibility of, or not the possibility, but like make it clear, like, these characters aren't done living their lives, like their story goes on, but like you don't need to see that kind of thing. Like I really do respect the decision to for the movie to be a prequel and not a direct sequel.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's at this point that I kind of was fully impressed by how much they cleaned up a lot of the skating animation in these episodes for the Blu-ray, because I definitely remember these last like two episodes coming in real hot when they aired. And I think I meant to look it up, but I think one of these episodes did like get a week delay because of production stuff where they were just like literally not gonna finish the episode in time for it to broadcast. So definitely a rough production, and explains why they're taking a long time on the movie.
Monica fans, they're like, oh, you cowards, you haven't lived yet.
Can't believe you've ruined me thinking about all the nice feelings I have about the end of the show with the specter of the fourth Monica movie.
It's been in me since it's been announced, or that trailer came out or whatever.
Yeah. All right. Any other final thoughts before I got a couple things before we wrap up, but any other final thoughts about the finale?
Not about the finale, but just in general, I'm glad I picked the show. I'm glad I was able to rewatch it, but it did show that I don't want to pick a show like this again, where like there's a lot of like, okay, and then they just skated or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I want more, and this kind of goes into what you might be picking next. I want something that has a little more meat to talk about, for better or worse.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm interested in what the next show we're picking is, but yeah, no, I think I got all of my full show opinions out earlier because it's really all I had to say about the show.
Yeah, just not a lot for you to latch onto.
No, not like the show is bad. I can understand why people would like it. I would argue that I do not think that it, I think its reputation is a little bit higher than what I would expect, but it's not like one of those shows that like, why is this one the most popular show, right, kind of thing.
It's definitely no ping pong. The genre has higher highs to reach. Yeah, I'm definitely glad you picked this, Danny, because I've been wanting to rewatch it and I had a really good time. And also because I rewatched it with the dub and then did all these voice actor notes, be like, oh, damn, like, right, Mamoru Miyano is in the show. I should rewatch the show again sometime with the original audio again. But speaking of the dub, I guess I'll talk a little bit about the episode 11 commentary track that's on the Blu-ray. It's weird. It's a weird commentary track. They don't talk about they basically don't talk about the actual episode at all. So they could have just picked an episode at random to talk over. But they don't really talk about anything specific to the episode. They don't talk much about the show for the first half of it. It's kind of just like four guys in a room just like riffing. Very weird. But one of them is Chris Sabat, who voices Chris. the one with the very, like, in the dub, very, like, effeminate gay accent to him, he doesn't, like, you would think, like, oh, what does he have to say about that? He's mostly like, you know, like, oh, it was, like, fun to voice a character that's, like, against type for me kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, he also, like, talked about, like, hearing about what the character was like for the first time, being like, he does what at the end of his routines? But he definitely, like, seems like he had fun working on it. It was also, like, the ADR director, I think, and the voice actors for JJ and Yurio. On it. And the one fun production note that I did actually learn, I did learn something from the commentary track, even though I must have just, like, spitballing the whole time, is Yurio's voice actor did actually work with, like, a voice coach, like a Russian voice coach, to get, like, the Russian accent right. I think he decided just to do that on his own, kind of thing. It wasn't like the ADR director made him. He just, like, oh, this would, like, bring a new dynamic to the character. And I was like, oh yeah, you can tell, like, you can tell his like Russian accent is pretty strong.
Yeah, I think with everyone, you know, there's no one doing like a caricature of an accent. You know, I'm sure someone from like that country or any of the countries featured would be like, oh, that's clearly not like a real one. But you know, they're not being like, you know, insensitive or anything like that in their depiction.
Yeah, no, it definitely doesn't feel like, at the very least, that wasn't their intent to try to be, like, stereotypical with the accents.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I learned some details about, like, how, like, surprised everybody involved with the show was by the success of it. And, you know, they talk a lot about, like, being at conventions and being surprised to see people, you know, cosplaying as characters from the show and stuff like that. The reason I felt like I messaged y'all when I was watching is, like, this commentary track is insane. The thing that really got me is... So this show came out in 2016, and they clearly recorded this commentary track in late 2016 because there are jokes about the 2016 election and about like Russian like voting stuff. You know, if we all remember 8 years ago, and
I try
all
not
that
to.
Stuff. Yeah, I try not to, but it was like getting like punched in the face by like November 2016. With like all the jokes and references they're making, and that's when I was like, what the fuck is this commentary track? And there's one or two points where someone on the track, I think it's the voice actor who voices Yurio, who seems like the most normal person, who's like, hey, we're here to record a commentary track. I think they suggest a couple times, like, hey, should we just restart? Like, are we gonna keep this in? Do we want to just like take it from the top? But they left it in, God bless them. So very, very weird. And I was telling you, Danny, before we recorded, like, a little bit bummed that the English Blu-ray doesn't have the same commentaries from the Japanese Blu-ray, because they get commentaries with Kubo, Mitsuru Kubo, I believe is her name, the co-writer on the show, along with, like, a different voice actor or set of voice actors each episode for, like, half the episodes have commentary tracks on that. So missing those, because I bet those are really fun and probably informative. But alas. All right. And then two more things. I got one more voice actor. Stefan Lambell is voiced by Stefan Lambell. So that's, you know, a former Swiss competitive figure skater who shows up. He kind of like shows up as like a TV announcer kind of thing in this episode, in this last episode. But he was a real former Swiss competitive figure skater, 2-time world champion, 2-time Grand Prix final champion, and then won a silver medal in the 2006 Winter Olympics. And he was also a 9-time Swiss national champion. So shout outs to him.
Can't wait for him to come up in another show. Oh, yeah. Like, voicing.
We already covered him, so yeah. I don't need to talk about him. That'd be wild if we ever watched anything else. Mm. Like, I don't think that's possible at this point in time, but maybe he'll be in anime in the future.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, maybe he'll be in Ice Adolescence.
Maybe.
But he's still active. He doesn't skate, but he's like a coach and a choreographer. He coaches a couple of like high winning Japanese skaters. So real life Yuri on Ice happening, I assume. And then I did watch the OVA, which is called Yuri on Ice, Yuri Plisetsky Grand Prix Final in Barcelona EX. Welcome to the Madness.
EX.
It's the full title. That's exhibition.
Oh, not like, okay. Not, he didn't evolve.
No. Yeah, no, it's his Pokemon card. Yeah, because you see Yuri's exhibition skate at the end of the episode 12, but they don't show Yurio's, and so that's the OVA. And that's all it is. It's just his performance, but the music is really fun. It's like a hard rock song that he's skating to. The animation is like next level compared to all the other animation in the show. Like, it's really good, and it makes me like extremely excited for the movie, which I have to assume is going to have even better animation. And then it also has the most iconic. Seeing this scene or this part of it reminded me that, like, oh yeah, I've seen this before. Has the most iconic Yuri Otabek moment, where Yuri skates over to like the side of the rink where Otabek is just like leaning against it in like a leather jacket,
oh, hell yeah,
like a motorcycle punk, and then he tears off Yuri's glove that he's wearing with his teeth.
Hell.
And then Yuri keeps skating. Oh my God. It's just like they know who the audience of the show is, and it's me. but they know how to get to us. But yeah, it's like super fun. It's just like, you know, 2 to 3 minute long. Would recommend if you like the skating and stuff in the show, or if you're also team Yuri Otabek with me. But yeah, just makes me hope the movie is as or better animated and as gay, if not gayer, one could hope. All right. Well, before I tell y'all what we're watching, because it's my pick next. So before I tell y'all, reveal my pick, let's talk about what other anime we've been watching. Danny, what books have you been reading lately?
So I've not really watched any anime, but I did, like you said, I've read the Metal Gear Solid 4 novelization. One of like the best things I've ever read. It's really, really, really good. And you know, had me crying like a baby at the end. For the most part, it's like a retelling, though there are some things that are taken out. There are some things that are added in, most notably taking out the Beauty and the Beast core and adding in an epilogue that recontextualizes like the entirety of like how the book is being presented, and then also give some insight on what happens after the game ends in a really touching way. Won't talk about that too much here, but depending on if Austin reads it, maybe we'll talk about it on GMMG, or maybe wait until Austin reads it, because I don't want to spoil everything, even though I have been gushing about it on the DMs. But other than that, I started playing Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, only like 3 hours into it, and I'm having just a gay old time. It is like already just sinking in as like, it reminds me how much I loved Seven, and I feel like it's going to be, you know, game of the year material just from the jump. I'm just immediately into it. Kasuga Ichiban is one of my favorite characters of all time in anything, and I just head over heels for it. But other than that, I think that's it for me.
Nice. Danielle, what about you?
Oh God. So finishing a season, starting a season, watching too much shit. Stuff I finished: the Spy Family season, better than the second, not as good as the first. Yukikomari was a dog shit fucking adaptation, awful, disappointment. Whatever. Stardust Telepath was a pretty good Kirara adaptation, even though I don't care about the source material that much. 16-Bit Sensation ended up actually being my favorite show of the fall 2023 season. I kind of just, even though it's like kind of silly and a little bit messy, it's incredibly earnest, and it's nice to just follow a anime original story that's that earnest and wants to share about how much it likes Haruka so much. I rewatched Sangatsu no Lion season 1, nice. Which I fucking love that show. I might have honestly even had a better time with it this time around. So that's all the stuff from last season. I'm not even going to mention everything from this season that I'm watching, but I'll just do 3, I guess. Bravern is original mech show from Cygames that I am fucking loving because it is incredibly fucking gay. They stuck a super robot into a real robot show, and the super robot wants to fuck his pilot. It's a fun time. It's not subtext, it's very much text. The Dungeon Meshi adaptation is going great. I'm having a good time with that. And unsurprisingly, I'm enjoying the Yuri Magical Girl BDSM show because that one's laser targeted at me.
What's that one called?
Gushing over magical girls, looking up to magical girls.
Okay. Hadn't heard of that.
Main character turns into like a magical girl villain, and it takes all the like the oh, you could read these scenes as like kink. It just makes that the entire text of the show.
Okay.
You'll know if you like it before going into it.
I will simply not go into it.
that's fair. And then I finally finished Fate Samurai Remnant. Really good game. I like it when Fate is actual video games instead of Soshige. Had a good time. Cannot recommend it highly enough if you are into Fate at all.
Oh, whew, don't have to play it then. All right. Well, I think I talked about all the other shows I finished from last season last time, but I did finish the one last thing, which I finished this morning. Watched the last episode of Hirogawa Sky Precure, Soaring Sky Precure, which had a really great finale. I'm assuming you didn't watch it yet, Danielle, since you didn't mention it.
I am watching it later tonight.
So I won't say anything specific. Not that I would anyway. But really good finale. Weirdly paced show is my big takeaway from it. Because all the plot happens in like the last like six episodes, and there's like little gesture at it the rest, which like, you know, it's a Precure show, but like usually they at least like dish out a little bit of plot here and there, but it's like I would say mostly like without a main plot for like 30 of the 50 episodes, maybe even more. It just like leaves a lot of details unexplained until the very end, which is fine, but did make me feel like the middle kind of. It just depends on, like, it's mostly like a plot of the week kind of thing, so it depends on how much you're into that plot, whether you're gonna, you know, have a good time episode to episode to episode. So, kind of an uneven Precure for me, but I think by the end of it, I was extremely into, like, the last, like, 10 episodes or so, that it, you know, like, hooked me back over. And I like the characters for the most part, so, you know, like, that's usually what gets you through a show like that. So that was good. Very excited for the next, Precure, both in terms of like premise and a lot of the staff involved are exciting for me.
Yeah, they let a boy be a Precure, so now they're letting a dog be a Precure, something, 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 something.
Oh, you fool. There have been dog Precures before. But yeah, I'm happy to go back to animal mascots in lieu of baby. Tired of baby. Get out of here. But yeah, I finished that. It was good. I also started Delicious in Dungeon, which is as good as you would expect a trigger adaptation of Delicious in Dungeon to be, which is good. Makes me want to reread the manga from the beginning, because I've just been reading like volume at a time as those come out in English for the last, God, like 3-4 years or whatever. Makes me want to go back to those, but it's good. It's like well-paced. I think the voice cast for that is really strong, especially like the voice actor for Marcille, like nails Marcille's vibe. But the rest of them are really good too. Senshi, Chilchuk, Laos, all really good at bringing those characters to life. So having a good time with that. Sucks that it's like airing on Netflix or whatever, however it's airing. I mean, I don't have that problem, but for the average Joe, it sucks that it's airing the way it is. I started the Witch and the Beast anime because I like that manga, and unfortunately, it's not a very good adaptation. In terms of production and pacing, it's kind of, especially like the second and third episode are kind of slowly paced.
I literally watched those first three seasons yesterday. Had a good time with the first one, and then after the third episode, I was like, you know what? I don't think we want to keep watching the show.
Yeah, the manga is so much better. I don't think the anime does the art of the manga like any justice in adaptation. It's also just like clearly like not got a lot of like money and time behind it from a production standpoint. Like a lot of the stuff that happens at the end of episode one is way more like you know, lowercase a animated in the manga in terms of like how the action is depicted, and it's kind of like all done in cutaways in the actual anime to save on time or save on like animation. It's only 12 episodes, so I'll probably see it through to the end just because I like the source material, but even more so than Delicious in Dungeon, it made me want to just like pick up the manga and reread instead.
Okay, I should look at the manga.
That and the, you know, talking about the voice acting being good in Delicious in Dungeon, I like the voice actor for I'm blanking on the character's name. Like, so there's like a main character pairing in that, and I like Guido, who's like the girl, I like her voice actor. The guy whose name I'm forgetting off the top of my head because I'm bad with names, his voice actor does not match how I read him in the manga at all. Not happy about that decision either. So that's probably, like, of the things I'm watching from the season, the one I'd be most likely to drop, I think. The only other new show I started is Urusei Yatsura, getting a season 2 of the new version of that, and it's more Urusei Yatsura, so having a good time with that.
Is that the show with, like, the lady in, like, the leopard print bikini or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Lum, yeah. Uh-huh. We stan. Stan Lum.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I wasn't, because that's from, like, the 80s or something, 90s originally, right?
Based on a Rumiko Takahashi manga, and then had a, like, a well-loved 80s adaptation.
Gotcha.
That you can now buy on Blu-ray through Discotech.
Oh.
Which I need to get those. A couple other things to shout out. I did watch the Burn the Witch OVA. It's called, like, Episode 0.8 or some Kingdom Hearts bullshit like that. It's cool to see more Burn the Witch because there's so little of it, but it's not as good as the, like, main OVA that they did, like, the 3 episodes that came out a couple years ago. But it's got good animation. Like, it was fun enough. I'm glad I watched it. It's, like, 25 minutes long. It's not super long. I gotta mention Frieren, which I'm still enjoying, but I don't understand why they're doing, like, a tuning exam arc right now in that show.
I do not know how to tell you this, but this is the point where it becomes a bog standard battle
really?
Series.
They just lean all the way into
yes.
that?
Yes. Uh-huh.
That is disappointing.
Do you now understand why I was like...
Well, I assumed I got to this, and I was like, oh, this is definitely what Danielle was talking about. But I thought it would just be, like, this arc. Like, okay, we're going to do, like, a tuning exam, and then we're going to move on. But that's extremely disappointing to hear.
No, the current manga arc is made me give up on the manga, even though, like, it was very much not as enjoyable as the start. I don't want to spoil that, but God, does it just ruin the entire conceit of the show. To me, to have that as an arc, just
well, they changed the OP, and in the new OP, there's like a dozen brand new characters, and I'm watching it for the first time, I'm just like pointing at the screen, like, who the fuck are you? Who are you? Like, what is so going on?
The villain of the week.
There's also an entire like later 20 chapter arc that just follows one of those other characters' arc, and Frieren's just like a side character.
I mean, that I could be more down with depending on the character, though I think I know who it could be, maybe. But the other thing I realized is like, oh, the fact that all these characters, like these fake tuning exam arc characters are being so focused in the anime means like that's all we're doing for the rest of the season. It's just tuning exam. So not happy about that. But again, the production on that show is still like extremely good. So that makes it enjoyable to watch.
I'm honestly curious what the reception of that show would be if it had like a more standard production.
Oh yeah, I mean yeah, it probably if it was like
curious, not like saying anything about the show. I'm just like, oh, I'd be curious.
Well, I do think like if it had like a Witch and the Beast level production, I would have been on for the story and the characters early on. But if it hit this part and the animation sucks, like I'd probably drop it. I don't know, because they are just doing like bog standard like shonen battle stuff, which is it is what it is. Oh, and then yeah, because this is anime in my book. I watched the motherfucking Lord of the Rings in a goddamn movie theater. all 12 hours of it or whatever. And that shit rules. Love it when the Divine Right of Kings plays itself out. Love it when he takes up the sword. No, that shit's good. I love those movies. I realized rewatching them in the theater, like, oh, these movies, because I watched them as a kid, like, or at a young age, like, these movies are the reason I like movies, you know? Like, watching those appendices on, like, the DVDs of, like, how they made it and everything like that is just, like, was, like, opened my mind to the world of like, oh, there's like a whole ecosystem of like making a movie happen. So getting to revisit those for the first time in a while in like really nice screen format was awesome. So have to shout out that. All right. Well, here's where I lay out what we're doing next time since it's my pick. So I was going to pick some trash, like just some sheer trash. And then I had a change of heart last night / this morning. Mostly because I was thinking about how much I liked Yuri on Ice, and I was thinking about how wholesome the show was, and I was like, let me pick some other gay shit, but that's like has more like teeth on it, has more of a bite. So we're gonna watch Given. Speaking of gay rock bands,
I have no idea what that is.
It's about a bunch of gay men forming a rock band.
checks out.
It is 11 episodes long, and then there's a movie and an OVA, which the movie is like 59 minutes. The OVA is like 20 minutes. So I was figuring we could do two episodes for the 11 episode TV anime and then one episode to cover both the movie and the OVA.
Is it like high schooler, like K-On! Or Love Live or whatever?
It's a mix. So not to get too into it, but of the four members of this band that they form, Given, two of them are high schoolers, two of them are college age.
Okay.
So it's kind of, the cast overall is like kind of mixed between like young adult and like high schoolers.
And I might cut this out depending on what the outcome of this question is, but next time will be our anniversary.
Yes.
Are we also doing ranking stuff next time?
That is also what I was going to say. Okay. Is that we should do our 3-year updated rankings.
Oh God.
Don't worry.
I don't want to order things.
I've got my spreadsheets. I will hook y'all up with a spreadsheet that you can just resort to suit your needs. Because I keep track of everything we watch. But yeah, it's time for us to update our rankings. Time to see where things will lie, which is exciting. So yeah, we'll do that next time. And I figured I looked up kind of where, because you know it's 11 episodes, so I looked up whether ending at episode 5 or ending at episode 6 of Given was the right call. I think we're gonna do episodes 1 through 5 next time.
Okay.
So we can do 1 through 5 and then our 3-year anniversary ranking discussion, and that'll be it.
That makes sense, because that'll take a little bit of time, and having 5 episodes makes it so we can put them together.
Yep. And then I will not tell you what trash garbage I was gonna pick in case I pick it for another time.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah. But I was like, you know what? No, we gotta keep the gay shit going. We gotta get the band back together.
God, there's like, honestly, if Maigo wasn't like so fucking recent, that'd be like a nice counterpoint to Yuri band drama stuff.
All right. Well, that'll do it for us for this time. So until next time, you can find the podcast on Twitter at Under the Kotatsu, on co-host at Under the Kotatsu as well. You can find me on co-host at Chai. You can find the aforementioned Metal Gear podcast me and Danny do, Grind My Metal Gears, at GMMG on co-host and at Grind My MGS on Twitter. I think by the time you hear this, we're about to finish up MGS4, which is a hoot. Danny, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Cover Me in Sauce or on co-host at Cover Me in Sauce with dashes between each word.
And Danielle, where can people find you?
I am at Yuri Bunny with one N on Blue Sky and Tumblr.
Nice. Holding it down for Blue Sky. One of us has to. All right. Well, until next time, when we'll cover Given 1 through 5 and do our 3-year ranking, why don't you take us out of here, Danielle?
Be crimes, do gay, and I'm really not sure how I'm supposed to do a stinger on a show that isn't for me.
Remember to skate with the king and I.
You just got to find your agape for figure skating.
Aww.